Amen. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. Can you see the wall? Vision Sunday. Can you see the wall? If I can draw your attention to verse number 16, and I love that 1 Corinthians chapter 2 passage, but verse number 16 comes down to a question, and the question is, and I'd like to pose it to all of us for us to consider, and that is, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. I know it's Vision Sunday, and I know I'm here to talk about vision, and I'm here to talk a bit about where we're going nuts next and what's about to happen with us, and I've got some really things, something that's really exciting to share with you. But before I do any of that, I just want to begin by saying that the ultimate cry of my heart and the ultimate question in my mind is, what is God doing? That's the ultimate question. What is God doing? In times like these, you need to know what God is doing. In a time with wars and rumors of wars, you need to know what God is doing. In a time of sickness and plagues and disease, you need to know what God is doing. In a moment when New York is flooded, when not only is New Orleans flooded, when the inner cities get flooded, when you see water in the streets, when you see wars, when you see the things that are happening in the Middle East and the stuff that's happening in the present world today, when you look at the birthing pains of whatever we may be dealing with, when you look at the current challenge in this country, whether you're black or white or male or female, rich or poor, bond or free, one of the most important questions in my estimation to ask is, God, what are you doing? God, what are you saying? If we ever needed the Lord before, surely we need him now. In times like these, I'm sorry, old school church used to say, in times like these, we need a savior. In times like these, we need a friend. Be very sure. Before I share anything I see, be very sure your anchor holds and grips that solid rock. Times like these, you better know who you serve. In times like these, you better know who you know. You better know who to pray to. In times like these, you better have your own kind of prayer life. I wish I had. We'll pray for you, but if you tried to get me to pray for these last 10 days, you was not able to reach me because I was praying for myself. Times like these, in days like these, when you've got your arms wrapped around yourself and you're battling against something, whatever it may be, at that moment, you don't know how well you know God till all hell break loose. You think you know the Lord till stuff goes the way that you don't want it to go. And I do have a vision, and I'm going to share it, but I also know that there's a passage in Proverbs 16 and 9, and I'll throw it up on the screens really quickly, that says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Whatever your plan may be, male or female, a man or a woman, we're about to share vision and talk about where we're going, and that's amazing. And certainly, God has given me some wisdom, and I do have something to share with you that I'm excited about. I trust that it will inspire you to make a plan. Have a vision. What's the point of faith without looking forward into your own life, to your own destiny, to your own family, with your own children? But no matter what your plans may be, you need God to order your steps. When you're done with your plan, you need God to touch that. You need God to confirm that. You're saying, Lord, order my steps. Lord, order my steps. Order my steps in your word. Dear Lord, I've been listening to that kind of stuff lately. I listened to that this morning. I listened to Fred Hammond this morning saying, when you're called to be in a relationship, sometimes it don't feel good. But I, at this point, I'm saying, God, can you direct me? Can you order my steps? Just know till then, Your steps are ordered. Can I speak that over your life? Can I speak the order of God over your steps? Though you may not know his mind, he will reveal it all in time. And just know till then, your steps are ordered. There may be something going on in your life, but can I say your steps are ordered? There may be something happening right now for you that you don't like, but can I just say your steps are ordered? The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. But of course, the truth of the matter is that there is none righteous, no, not one. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so a part of what makes my God so amazing is that he'll order your steps even when you're not exactly perfect. Anybody got a win? He'll order your steps even before, as a matter of fact, there's a lot of us before you were serious about God, God was ordering your steps. So the idea that God orders our steps, this idea that I may make whatever plans that I have, but I got to get a clear understanding of what is God doing, and that's not easy. For who may know the mind of God that he may instruct him? It's one of the things, Elder Paul, that is so interesting and daunting about prayer, is that on the one hand, I want to have a prayer life. At the same time, who am I that he is mindful of me? Who am I that he hears me when I call? Who am I to think that I know enough to tell him what he needs to do? It's absolutely possible that my mind hasn't seen, my eyes haven't seen, and my ears haven't heard, and my mind hasn't conceived. And so as much as I pray, I got to be careful when I'm praying, Elder, because who am I to instruct God in his business? I don't know if anybody in here like me has the experience of telling God how to do his job, God absolutely ignoring you, and then moving in a way that blessed you so much that you said, God, I am so glad you did not listen to me. Who am I talking to? I'm so glad that you decided to override my stupidity. Can I get a witness in the building? I just knew I knew what I was talking about. I just knew I knew what I needed. I just knew I was going to tell God how to bless me. I fussed at God. I know I'm not the only one. I fussed at God. I got mad at God. I had a small little attitude with God. I told the Lord, you don't do me like you do people in the Bible. He said, what about Job? I said, don't nobody want to talk about no Job. I mean, the fact of the matter is that as much as I'm standing here, man of God, man of faith, I'm telling you, and almost anybody that's really honest will tell you, 90% of the stuff in my life right now that is an abundant, amazing blessing is stuff I did not have sense to ask for. Oh, I need a witness in the building. About 90%. Me living in North Carolina, this is God. Me having a Jamaican mummy, that's God. This black girl, that is the Lord's doing. I am in a world where I did not know people. I did not know you. I have come to the understanding that I don't really have enough sense to instruct God in his business when it comes to blessing me. And I gotta trust him. 'Tis so sweet to trust him. Just to take him at his word. Just to rest upon his promise. Just to know, thus saith the Lord. So for everybody in the room like me who has prayed a prayer that God did not answer. Come on, be honest. Everyone watching around the world praying a prayer God did not answer. It may just be possible that God has a way of doing things, and I like the way he do what he do. And there are times in which he gonna listen to you, and there's times in which he is not, because who knows the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Paul says, who are we to instruct God in his business? Who are we to tell God how to do what he's going to do? But We have the mind of Christ. We can't instruct God. Before I share vision, we can instruct God, but we can have the mind of Christ. And I want to throw that on the screens. Not just the mind of Christ, but the call of Christ. The mind of Christ and the call of Christ. It's not just having Christ's mindset. Part of the reason why he came was so that we could see him live in the earth and then understand that it's the mind of Christ. But it's not just the mind of Christ, it's the call of Christ. And if I could define the call of Christ quickly, the call of Christ is to be alive and aware in a moment and touching the world. To be alive and aware in a moment and touching the world. That's my definition of the mind of Christ. My definition of the call of Christ is that you are alive right now. You happen to be alive in the 21st century. I happen to be alive in 2021. But not only am I alive, I'm aware. My eyes are open. I'm not so heavenly minded and I'm no earthly good. I'm alive. I'm also aware. I realize there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. I realize I got to have a prayer life. I realize that there's a balance between the spiritual and the physical. I'm alive. I'm aware. I find myself in the earth at a particular moment, and I'm determined to touch the world for God. And touching the world for God today is very different than touching the world for God 50 years ago. It's very different than touching the world for God 200 years ago. Even though we like to look at the patterns of what others have done, what it really means to have vision, beloved, is not to be so stuck in everything that has always been done. To take the inspiration of what has been done, and then for you to say, all right, God, talk to me. All right, God, have a relationship with me. Okay, God, let me know what you want me to do. And what's more is you have allowed me to be on the earth for just such a time as this. And whatever I bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever I loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. In other words, to have the mind of Christ and the call of Christ means that not only do I listen to God, but that God listens to me. So that we're walking this fine line of saying, God, what are you doing? And at the same time, the Lord has said, I have created you, I have birthed you, I have helped you, I have made you. And you, every one of us in this room, and every person that's watching around the world, we all have different experiences, we all have different backgrounds, we're all walking miracles. Whatever it is that you survived, whatever it is that you made it through, whatever abandonment, whatever hurt, whatever betrayal, whatever it is that has happened to you has made you who you are. And certainly it may not have been the plan of God. Much of the hurt or pain or violence that may have happened to you or the evil that was done against you certainly was not the plan of God. But I know I'm not the only one where God took the crooked and made it straight. I know I'm not the only one where I can look back and say, thank you for leaving me. Thank you for abandoning me. Thank you for talking about me. Thank you. Because if you had gave me what I wanted, then I never would have got to where I am right now. If you had actually liked me, I would have stayed there with you and I would have been stuck with you. But because you didn't like me, and because you talked about me, and because you dogged me, who am I talking to? Because you hurt my feelings, you made me go for something that I wouldn't have went for if you had been so nice to me. And so I realized that even though you threw me in a pit, God still had a plan for me. And yeah, they didn't like me. And yeah, they didn't like the fact that I was a dreamer. And yeah, they didn't like the fact that God talked to me. And yeah, they didn't like the fact that I wanted more. And yeah, they didn't like the fact that I had the dare, that I dared to have vision or dared to believe God for something. And yes, they abandoned me. And yes, they rejected me. And yeah, they talked about me. And yeah, they dogged me. And that is a part of what made me. Can only complain about it but so much, because if it had not been for the evil against me, I would not be the monster that is standing in front of you for just a minute. Everybody in the room, that is a beast. That is a monster. That is a scary, no joke somebody. I want you to understand, if it hadn't been for your haters, you wouldn't be a monster. If it hadn't been for the folk that didn't like you, you would not be a monster. Your power was honed in your rejection. You think you want everybody to like you all the time till you meet somebody who everybody like them all the time and they ain't nothing. And then you look at you and you realize, yep, I didn't get the accolades. Yep, I didn't get the praise. I didn't get the claps. I didn't get the pat on the back. I had to fight to get mine. I need a witness in the building. I had to fight to get mine. I had to fight to prove I was anointed. Can I get a witness? I had to fight to prove I was anointed. Nobody gave me the belief that I was right, and that rejection honed this monster that you're looking at. And now I find myself alive and aware in a moment in history, and I believe that I am talking to thousands of people just like me. God has created you for just such a moment as this, and your eyes are open. And it's not enough for me to just tell you what everything means for you. You survive for you to analyze. You survive for you to talk to God on your own. You survive for you to have a relationship with God. You survive so you can say, Lord, and what would you say to me? And what will you have me to do? And what is your call on my life? You are not like everybody else. Who am I talking to? You are not like everyone else. There is something about you that is different and unique. You don't fit in. And for whatever reason, there are folk who like you and some folk who don't. I honestly believe that is who goes to my church. I believe that that is the anointing that is on me, is on you. I want you to know I'm with you. I am somebody. I am an acquired taste. Everybody don't like Andy. Everybody don't like me. Everybody don't like what I say. And that is okay, because I am uniquely and wonderfully made. I have been designed and fashioned by God for just such a time as this. And my perspective is unique. And I refuse to cowtail to the thought of the masses. Why are you here? Why are you alive? Why are you still breathing? Why didn't they kill you? Why didn't it take you out? Why are you still alive? Why did you make it and others did not? Why did they go to jail and you didn't? Why is it that they got killed and you did not? Why is it that you made it out the hood and they did not? Why is it that there are folk in your family who did not make it like you have made it? And sometimes you wonder, God, what is it that you have decided in me where you have given me favor like this? I want to speak that over the room before I say another word. I want you to know that there is something called the election of God. Ain't nothing like being God's friend. Ain't nothing like having a confidence to say, God is on my side. God is with me. You may not like me, but God just like me. God just makes stuff happen for me. God just makes doors open for me. God just sets me up and puts me in a situation with the right somebody. Even when I mess up, God is, even when I do wrong, somehow it works out. Holy Spirit, have your way in us. Because if you're watching today, that is what it means to have a relationship with Almighty God. What is the point of a God who only loves you when you're perfect? Oh my God. What is the point of a God who only loves you when you have everything together? I know I'm not the only one who has a testimony that His grace was sufficient for me. His grace made a way for me. Without His grace, I would be consumed. And there are folk who have looked at me and frown their nose at me because they know I don't deserve His goodness. I don't deserve His grace, but they don't have to like it because if God is for me, who can be against? Who am I talking to? Who am I preaching to? This is world overcomers. This is the victory that overcomes the world. It is that I don't have to be perfect. I have faith. I don't have to have it all together. I've got faith. I don't have to have all the money. I got faith. I don't have to have all the degrees. I got faith. That I believe and I speak. And people think I'm crazy. People think I'm crazy. Sit down. Anybody hearing a word from the Lord? Anybody around the world hearing a word from the Lord? What I'm saying to you is that, beloved, this is Nehemiah. This is Nehemiah. Really quickly, this is Nehemiah. Nehemiah is someone who, if you're not familiar with the situation, just the quick background. The children of Israel have lost their physical possession as a result of idolatry. The prophets came in and said, if y'all don't get it together, you can have all, if y'all don't get yourselves together, you can be an Israelite and still have no property. Y'all keep it up, and the Babylonians are going to come through here. And folk who don't know God like y'all are going to have more money than you and have more property than you. As a matter of fact, they're going to come through here, and they're going to raid, and they're going to take everything that's rightfully yours. The devil doesn't win because he's strong. The devil wins because there's idolatry. So when the people of God find themselves displaced, that is what has happened. What has happened is they have come through, the Babylonians have conquered them, and now they are still a remnant of them alive, still with the knowledge of God, still the children of Israel, but they are broken and displaced. And Nehemiah starts by asking, what's going on with the lives of the people who still live in Jerusalem? His question is not a spiritual question. His question is a life question. This is a world overcomer's word. This is a world overcomer's word. It is, praise God for our spiritual focus. But Nehemiah's question is, hey, what is going on in the everyday lives of the Jews that are living in Jerusalem? That's how Nehemiah starts. And Nehemiah is cupbearer to the king. When you are the cupbearer to the king, that means you get to eat what the king gets to eat. You get to drink what the king gets to drink. Meaning that Nehemiah, although he is a Jew, and although he is displaced, Nehemiah is in the king's house. Nehemiah is eating and drinking and living like a king. He's not the king, but what the king eat, he eat. What the king drink, he drink. His individual life is extremely different than the average Jew in his time. I just got to let this marinate for just a second so that this word will hit every Nehemiah that's watching and every Nehemiah that's in this room. Because I know I'm speaking to people who you don't live how the average person lives. You don't live how the average black person lives. You don't live where they live. You don't live how they live. You don't live how the average white person lives. You don't live how the average American lives. You don't live how the average Ghanaian lives or how the average Australian lives or Indian lives. That you have been somehow separated and favored, and you find yourself eating like the Babylonians, and you're not Babylonian. Nehemiah is somebody who, if he wanted to, he didn't have to care about anybody but himself. But just because he found himself in a favorable position does not mean that he was allowed to forget his people. That if there's a blessing on you and there's favor on you and there's money in your pocket and there's access and you have favor and there's doors and there's things that are open and you find yourself holding a cup that the king drinks, that this is a sign unto you that there's a call on your life for you that's greater than just about yourself. So Nehemiah asks a question. He don't ask a spiritual question, mommy. He asks what's going on with their everyday life. And they tell them their life is not good. The wall is torn down. It's not a good situation for them. And so Nehemiah goes to the king. He talks to God and says, Lord, give me favor with the king so that I can actually rebuild the wall. Beloved, Nehemiah's story is not the story of building a temple. Nehemiah ends up being a governor. Nehemiah is not a church builder. This is not church. That's why this is a World Overcomer's word. This is not church. Nehemiah is wondering, what is going on with my people? What's their life like? And when he finds out what it's like, he goes and he says to them, he goes to the king and he's sad. And the king says, what are you upset about, man? I've never seen you down like this. That is sadness of heart. And Nehemiah says, it's hard. Even as blessed as I am, even with the favor on my life, even with the doors that are open for me, even with the fact that I get to eat and drink with you, even though I get to actually be in your presence, even though I actually have access to stuff, it's just difficult for me to be happy when my people are this jacked up. And if I may be so bold, can I ask you, can you fund me so that I can build something that will restore the safety of my people? And my question to us, World Overcomers, is, can we see the wall? It's been a question I've been asking for a while. Can we see more than just the church? Can we see the wall? What is God doing? What is God saying in a post-COVID world? What is God saying in a time where we built some of the most beautiful churches in the world and can't meet in them? And now here we are, 2 years out from these leases being over. The history of World Overcomers has been that we have leased spaces. We started World Overcomers in 2003. We started in a leased space on Garrett Road. 2007, we moved into about 30,000 square feet of space. We were the first church that BPG, Parker Lincoln at the time, had never leased to a church before. And leasing spaces like this was kind of an unheard of thing. Other churches started to do it after we did it. Summit came after we had been here for a while because we were the ones that did this first. We leased the space. About 10 years ago, about 8 years ago now, BBG came to us. We were about to buy a building, the Teleflex space that's across the way. And BPG came to us and sat down and basically said, hey, tell you what, if you re-up with us for 10 years, we'll give you this, we'll give you that, we'll give you this. They promised us this. They promised us parking. It wasn't supposed to be how it is now. They weren't supposed to be leasing to people that was told you and all of this other stuff. And so we expanded into this space. And so for the last 7, 8 years, we moved into this space in 2012. And I think that what the leases have done is the leases have allowed us to see what we really are. It's like when your kids are growing, you don't buy them nice clothes till they grown. Because they're every other day, they outgrow what you bought. Some of you, your mama bought stuff way too big. Oh, I wish I had a witness in the building. You got to go to school with stuff rolled up. But what I'm saying is, what should have what the leases have done for us, World Overcomers, is it has allowed us to see what are we. How many people really go to the church? How many people really attend? What is our real way? We started to do a Raleigh church, and then we were trying to figure out what exactly is going on, and then COVID-19. And we haven't been able to have children's ministry, although we're about to open children's ministry back up within the next couple of weeks or so. I want you to know that. Just want you to know we are going to finish out having children's ministry these last 2 years that we've been here. But we did this children's, but we moved, we expanded, and we got all these spaces, and now we've been in here these last several years impacting the area and the world as best we can. And now the time is now for us to leave. I'm gonna make everybody clap. Time is up for us to leave. We've got about 2 years left, and it's gonna take about 2 years to build what we're gonna build, and I'm super excited about it because the vision that the Lord has given me is not for a church. So the land that we have, for everyone in the room, everyone's watching, the land we have is on 70. If you go down Miami, take a right out of our parking lot, go down to 70, take a left. And once you pass the little shops and stores and the cookouts and that kind of stuff that's there, right on the left, there's a big stretch of forest there on the left. Okay, there's the sign. You can go down there and drive a seat, or you can look. We're showing it to you on the screens as best we can. It's about 25 acres that we are purchasing. Go ahead and put your hands together because this is where we are on our way to. The vision that I have for this space is a vision that is bigger than just to build a sanctuary. It's more than just to build a church. Let me tell you what my vision is. What I would like for us to do, because what I think God is saying to us, is we need to rebuild the wall and not just the temple. Our call has got to be greater than just church. And so I've had this vision for a while now, but it's just now that God has really placed it into fruition, because what we're about to build is something that I'm loosely calling Victory Park. I don't know if that's definitely what it's going to be called, but I'm loosely calling it Victory Park. Let me tell you what it is. Victory Park is basically a great, big, giant sports complex type of place. A place where when you go inside, you step into a lobby And there's, in my vision of it, there's a court and a court and a court and a court. And at the back of it is a sanctuary enclosed in glass. And there is a cafe. There is, of course, children's ministry. There is a courtyard on the outside where food trucks come and set up. There are fields on the outside where there are soccer practices and AAU tournaments and practices that are going on all of the time, that this will be a place that ministers to the community as much as it is a place where we meet for church. In my estimation, it makes no sense to build a building that generates cost 30 days a month that you only pay for 4 days out the month. That doesn't make any sense to me. And so in my vision, I think what I see is there are people that are on our property that don't even go to our church. People that don't even know about World Overcomers, that are up there on the regular basis. Their kid is in a practice. They're up there for a tournament during the week. And that is generating its own income. And then that there is stuff that's happening on the outside on a regular basis. And that then people will be there and be like, now what is this? And somebody will say, yeah, this is Victory Park. I think this is World Overcomers. And they'll go over and they'll look through the glass walls and they'll look and see our sanctuary, but they will realize that there's something spiritual in the middle of something that is affecting the area in a significant way, and that lives will be changed outside of just Christian lives. Oh, I wish I had a witness in the building. That I can see young men playing midnight basketball leagues and guys who are battling to stay out of trouble and gangs and young men and women. I can see us building something that doesn't just impact church people. Something that ends up being a space that significantly impacts the people in the area. To me, that is God. I'm gonna make everybody clap. That's my vision. That's my vision, Tice. My vision is that, yeah, we will have church there, but at the same time, although we will have church there, the function of the building, and we'll have children's ministry there, sure. But also, there will be stuff that will be happening on our property all week long. All week long. Folk will drive by Victory Park. Folk will be on it. Folk will be in the cafe. Folk will be in a food truck. Folk will be happy. A lot of this happened because two of my sons played AAU basketball. I don't know if you have ever had a child play AAU basketball or any kind of basketball. And I spent weeks, so much money, so much time sitting around. My sons played basketball in this area, and I can't tell you the gyms they played in, the bad floors. One of my sons ended up needing a knee surgery just because of the kind of grounds and concretes and floors that he played basketball on. And I remember being in the middle of one of those and thinking, my God, and waiting for, if you've ever done any of this, waiting for a game to start, for another game, and you're hungry, and you get up and you drive down and go to Bojangles or something in some little town. But if there had been something there, if I could have got on the internet, if there had been something right there, I would have ate right there. I wouldn't have went nowhere. If I could have sat in a cafe and got on the internet and waited in between the games, if I could have, and I remember thinking to myself, God, this is a church. A great, big, wide open space. My vision, beloved, is that the sanctuary will seat about 1,500, 1,700. This room. And then for Easters and New Year's and when we really need it, we'll be able to peel the walls back and spill into the rest of the complex. For if we have a big conference, so there's New Year's and we need to seat 3,000 or 4,000, we can do that. But that will be the potential for a capacity space. But the other time, what will be is there'll be this sanctuary. And we're showing you some renderings. And the guys are trying to keep up with me as best you can. But that we will have a space that will not just be a church. Do you see it? Can you see it? Can I get you to put your hands together? Do you see it? What do I need? Well, beloved, we need money. This is great, Pastor Andy. Well, we need money. We are going to build this building, and we need money. Now, here's the thing. To be honest with you, beloved, different than other churches, World Overcomers is in the unique situation in that BPG currently charges us so much money per month that we literally are about to buy the future. We literally are about to secure the future of World Overcomers because we're not in the situation that most churches are in that most churches are going to try to prove that they have the ability to build something that's bigger than what they are. They're trying to show a bank or show whoever that they can build something and then they can afford it. What is going to happen with us is not only is this going to impact the community, not only are we going to build something that's going to impact the Triangle area significantly, not only is this going to be something that touches the lives of people that may not even be Christians, and I hope you're okay about that, because to me, that's the Nehemiah call, but not only, beloved, is that true, but what's also true is that this is a very intelligent, smart, financial move for World Overcomers. Our monthly cost alone will be cut in half. And that's before the money comes in, even that the space itself will generate. I'm gonna make you all clap for that. To go from leasing to ownership, and may I speak that over all of you right now in the name of Jesus, to go from leasing to ownership, at some point, you may find yourself in a situation where it's not only smart for you to own because you're investing long term, but it's smart for you to own because the ownership deal is a better deal. Where we are now, beloved, we have come to a place where to own this land, to build this building, the building's going to cost about $15 million to build, to own the land and build that building. Even if we borrowed the money to do it, our monthly payment will be about half what our monthly payment is now. Right now, we are enslaved to BPG. We're not free. It's been nice. It's been a nice little temporary thing. We've been able to change and grow and expand. They never let us put signage out. And the parking has gotten sketchy. And they're charging us more than they've ever charged us before. But what the devil may mean for evil, God can turn it around for your good. Because what has happened is they have charged us so much. They're such a horrible company. They have charged us so much. They have now put us in a situation in which for us to move over there and build our own thing, it is cheaper. It is less expensive for us to get out of this lease space, build our own thing, it actually makes sense financially for us to get up out of here. I'm going to make everybody clap for that. And so, I'm going to need you to give. I'm going to need you to pledge, and I'm going to need you to give. In your hand, you have a pledge card. On your screen, there is a pledge card. If you don't have a pledge card, put your hand up. It's right there on the screens. It's a pledge card. I'm done. And if you need a pledge card, raise your hand. I'm trying to get you to make a pledge. A pledge of it's a 12-month pledge or a 24-month pledge. For the next year to 2 years, we've got to raise about $5 million. We've got to raise about $5 million. $5 million is not a lot of money if we all come together. I see hands up all over the room, which just makes my heart leap. I see hands up all over the room. Now, when you get the pledge card, beloved, there are way more of our World of Work folks, y'all are watching online. And so there's a digital card that's popping up, a digital pledge card for you. I need you right now to make a pledge. One of the things that's amazing about this son, it's amazing, Pastor Al, Elder Paul, is that Pastor Andy has never done this. This is not something we have ever done. We are 18 years old. We've never done a major building thing like this. We've never done a pledge. Everything we've done, we just did it. We saved, we were smart, we did it. When we expanded this room, because of the national, international television and lights and all of it, we had to take columns out. When y'all roll up on this and you see the white beam that's on the top, World Overcomers did that. We had to remove the column that was there and remove the column that was there. That cost money. We just always have been wise. We live within our means. We're smart. I've never come and said, hey, let's make a pledge. I need everybody to make a pledge. I need $5 million from everybody. It's not something I've done. I haven't taken up light offerings. I haven't taken up carpet offerings. I haven't taken up chair offerings. It's not something that I've done. I haven't been someone that's asked you for money on a regular basis, but I'm asking you now. I need you to make a pledge. I need you today to make a pledge towards this Victory Park vision. And I need you to pay on the pledge. And I need you to give an offering today. If I can get everybody to give me $100 today, if 5,000 people give me $100, that's $500,000. We're well on our way towards doing what we've got to do. There are some of you that are watching around the world. You got $500,000 on you right now. There are some of you, God has blessed you in such a way, you can make a pledge. All right, so on the card you'll see, I've got several delineations. You can pledge $10,000 or more. You can pledge $5,000 or more. Just because it only says $10,000 doesn't mean that you can't pledge more than that. You can pledge $50,000. You can pledge $150,000. You can pledge $250,000. The word says, God said he'll make you rich so that you could be generous on every occasion. This is an opportunity for you to be generous above and beyond your tithes and offerings. This is an opportunity for us to come together, get free from BPG. The more money we raise, the lower our debt will be. The lower our debt will be, the less we will, our future World Overcomers, our children will not have to worry about whether or not they give like us. Most of us are coming from churches or out of churches where the church is in trouble because it has to continue to cater to one generation. The denomination I grew up in is dying. And the reason why my denomination is dying is because the church set up a structure in which it was dependent on the giving of that one generation. You can bring in a young pastor, but you're scared to let him be too free because the old saints want to sing the hymns. And the old saints are the ones who give. Even though Jesus said, on this rock I will build my church and the gates of death will not stop the church. Death is not supposed to stop the church. How do we stop death from stopping? How do we make it so that death doesn't stop the church? The way that we make it so that death doesn't stop the church, beloved, is that this particular generation, this moment where we have ministered to thousands over the 18-year history of World Overcomers, we have baptized thousands. Thousands of people have gotten saved. We have experienced revival. We have filled this room multiple times. And I was talking to Bishop Jakes about our New Year's Eve service, how we had a 7 p.m. and a 10 p.m. when this room, that wall wasn't there, and we sat 3,000. We filled this room twice. He said, are you trying to tell me y'all had 7,000 people on campus on New Year's? And I said, yeah. He said, in Durham, North Carolina? I said, yes. He said, in Chicago, that's a crowd. In Durham, that's a mob. It is clear that this is God's doing. Marvelous in our eyes. We have come together for just such a time as this. We have worshiped like this. We have praised like this. We have lights, cameras, all of it like this. This is God. Now, beloved, a part of our job is to secure this so that our children's children will be able to experience a World Overcomers that doesn't just cater to us. And if we dig down deep and give and pledge. So I've got 10,000, I've got 5,000, I've got 1,000, I've got other. And you can give a one-time gift. Now, there are so many ways in which you can give. And I don't want to rush through it, but four methods of payment that we'll be using in order of preference. Number one. A check. A check doesn't require any percentage to anyone. So if you make a pledge today of $10,000 and you decide that you want to give that $10,000, $1,000 a month for the next 10 months or however you figure out how you're going to do it, or you're just going to write a check for $10,000, you're going to write a check for $50,000, I want you to know that although we've gotten away from checks as a culture, checks are the way that we get the most of the money is through a check. When you give through a check, no percentage of what you give goes to anybody but the church. So the number one way is check. Number two is a bank check. This method also doesn't require us to pay any percentage. You could actually go to your bank and sit down with them. You could go to the people at the desk and say, I would like to send $100 a month to World Overcomers. Give them our address. They will mail a check to World Overcomers from your bank account every month. And no percentage of that money will go to anybody but World Overcomers. You could do that tomorrow. Just like you could set up draft of anything else. You could go tomorrow, walk into your bank, say, hi, I'm a member of World Overcomers. I give, I tithe, I made a pledge of $5,000. So for the next 2 years, I want to give this a month. They'll say, okay. Then they will mail us a check from you every month. Now you can sit down and write the check yourself if you're like that. Or you could go in and sit down with your bank. Set it up. You could go sit down with your bank wherever you may be around the world. You could go sit down with your bank, write it, tell them. They will mail a check to World Overcomers. Give our address. They will mail a check to you when you fill out your card, your commitment card today, and you say what your monthly, you say what your pledge is, what you're going to give one time, and your name and your address and your email and your phone number. Please write it as clearly as possible. My God, I hope you have a pen. If you need a pen, raise your hand. Okay, people have pens. We'll run around with a pen for you. But if you're watching around the world, you can make this pledge digitally. When you do that, we need your information. We will definitely, believe me, we will be following up with you. Your email's great. Your cell phone number is even better. Because we're going to come together and do that. We are going to come together and build this thing and do a work worthy of the name of God. Are you with me, beloved? Are you with me? Are you with me? Are you with me? Are you with me? Okay. So, beloved, I'm going to do something I've never done before. But if you're in the room with me right now and you're saying, Pastor Andy, $10,000, I got you. I'm going to pledge $10,000 or more. Will you just stand? If you say, I got $10,000 or more, I got you, Pastor Andy. $10,000 or more, I got you. Will you just stand to your feet with me? $10,000 or more, I got you. I got you. I want people to try not to move as much as possible. I know it's hard. We got a little over. $10,000 or more, I got you, PA. I know I can give $10,000 or more. If you're in the room and you're one of the top givers and you already made a pledge and it was $10,000 or more, you can stand at this time as well. If you're like, yeah, PA, I got $10,000 or more. I am with you, Pastor Andy. I got you. I know if you're watching online right now, you can right now say $10,000 or more. Tyrus will wave at me. He'll be like, yep, somebody else just pledged $10,000 or more. Hallelujah. Can you praise God for everyone who's like $10,000 or more? Come on, I want you to praise God for them. If you're saying, PA, I can't do $10,000, but I can do $5,000 or more. I can do five or more. Will you just stand to your feet with me right now? $5,000 or more. Thank you. $5,000 or more. Thank you. I got you, PA. I can do $5,000 or more over the next year or two. I got it. You're watching around the world. $5,000 or more. I can do that. All right. Hallelujah. Okay. $1,000 or more. Stand to your feet. Pay. I know I can give you $1,000 over the next 2 years. I know I can do that. Wow. Can you guys praise God? I know I can give you $1,000 or more. I know I can do that. I'm going to make that pledge today. I'm going to give at least $1,000, maybe $1,500, maybe $2,000, at least $1,000 or more. Awesome. $500 or more. Go ahead and jump on your feet. All right, PA, I'm going to make a pledge. I'm telling you, I can give you $500 above my tithes and offerings. I know I can do that. I know that that's something I can commit to, and I can give you $500 or more over the next 2 years because I want to say we did this together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. People watching around the world, stay on your feet. Stay on your feet. People watching around the world, people in the room with us. Let me pray for everyone that's on your feet. God, I thank you right now for everyone that's on their feet, everyone that's pledged at least $500, everyone that's pledged at least $1,000, everyone that's pledged at least $5,000, everyone that's pledged at least $10,000. God, I thank you right now that you are going to bless us exponentially, above and not beneath, always at the top, never at the bottom. I thank you, God, right now that you will make all kinds of things happen for us that we might be able to walk in your will. I pray a supernatural blessing on these. I pray an exponential blessing on these. I pray a supernatural exponential blessing on everybody under the sound of my voice, people that have to give, people that do not have to give. I pray that you'd bless them so that they have to give. In Jesus' name. We all sit together. Amen. Put your hands together. Praise the Lord. All right. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. Thank you so much for standing with me. Thank you so much for your support. Can we give really quickly? Can we give to the work of the kingdom of God? Can we just give? I need to take the biggest offering I can right now. I know. If you look at these buildings, look at these spaces, look at World Overcomers and think, yeah, Pastor Andy, you're good. No, I'm not good. I need your help. I need your help. I need your help today. I need your help today. So if you need an offering envelope, or if we can just throw the download the My app. I know Pastor Andy took, my Pastor Al took up the tithes. But if we can just give, if I can get you to give $100 today. $100. $100 today. It's first Sunday in September. If I can get it before you start spending your Christmas money, before you start doing, if I can get $100 from you today, if you need an offering envelope, raise your hand. One of the gatekeepers will come to you quickly. You can download that MyWOCC app right now. I need $100 from everyone that's watching around the world. If I can get 5,000 people to give me $100 today, then I'm good today. Good today. Huh? It's World Overcomers. You writing a check, make your check payable to WOCC. For all of you that had a card, filled it out, made that pledge, made your pledge card, you filled it out. I need you to bring it up here when service is over. Huh? We're going to put buckets on the stage. Fill out your pledge. Make sure your information is correct. Some of you stood for 10, 5, 1,000, 500. Fill it out. When we pass the bucket, you can also put the card in the bucket. You can give through check. You can give through a bank check. You can give through push pay. But you need to understand when you give through push pay, there's a percentage that push pay gets. About to take up this offering and we're done. 12:05. For some of us, the preacher didn't even preach yet. There's vision booklets available in the lobby. So as you're leaving today, there's little booklets you can grab to tick just to see some of the renderings and the things that we're going to be doing. Oh, I'm so excited. Can we give? Can I get you to give around the world? I know most of you, World Overcomers, most of you are watching me through the screen, so I know you've made a pledge. I know that you've given. I need you to give right now. I need you to fill that pledge out electronically. I need you to make sure you're in the room with me. I need these pledge cards. Thank you. Thank you. I know we're going to do this thing together. Amen? Come on, let's bow our heads and pray for this offering. God, we just want to thank you that you're blessing both gift and giver. Thank you, Lord God, for this moment, this opportunity that we have to be a part of what you are doing in the earth. Have your way in us. Strengthen us by your power. You're the God of miracles. Signs and wonders, we believe in your power. Have your way in us. Kingdom of God, come in us. Will of God be done. In Jesus' name, we all said together, God bless you as you give. As the bucket passes, just jump on your feet with me. Really quickly, you can put your pledge card in the bucket. And when it passes you today or after the service is over, you can just come up and drop your pledge card. We will be contacting you, not just through email, but also through your phone. We'll be following up with you with instructions and things to do, whether you're making a 12-month pledge or a 24-month pledge, however you're doing it. We will be sending you reminders to give on your pledge. We're about to do this thing. We're about to do this thing. We're about to do this thing. Can we do it, beloved? Yes, we can. Can we do it? Yes, we can. Can we be owners? Yes, we can. Can we be the lender and not the borrower? Yes, we can. Can we raise this money? Absolutely, we can. I believe that everything that we need is in the house. And we've come to the kingdom for just such a time as this. If you're with us for the very first time, welcome. Glad you were here. We talked business. As you can see, God has given us a vision, and it's not just for church people, it's to impact the area significantly. Come on, let's pray. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for our time together. Thank you
that there is none like you. Thank you for your glory that's revealed in us. Thank you for every person that gave. Thank you for every person that pledged. Thank you for every person that watched around the world and pledged and gave. Someone committed a bigger pledge than ever in their life, and I pray that your power would be on them. Thank you for this land. Thank you for this Victory Park. Thank you for this opportunity to be Nehemiah's and to rebuild the wall. And we pray that your glory would be revealed in us. Dismiss us from this place, but never from your presence. Thank you for the worship. Thank you for the special guest worship leader that was with us today. Bless her, Lord. Strengthen her. Empower her and the team, all of us together. Thank you for Pastor Al's words. Thank you for showing up on time. Now, God, you've made the heavens and the earth by your great power. Nothing is too difficult for you. Heal our bodies. Heal our minds. Let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight. God, you're our rock. You're our redeemer. We love you. In Jesus' name, we all sit together. Amen. God bless you. Greet somebody in the name of the Lord. Give somebody a holy hug. Or, well, don't touch nobody.